Hand by Rohintin Daruwala. It starts with an accident. A careless kitchen knife slices open a palm, and as he yells and curses and waits for the nanobots to do their healing work, his head lifts briefly out of the sea of grief, and then the wound closes and he remembers Junaid is gone. But the healed hand is no longer his, now it's larger, scarred and thick-fingered, almost like Junaid's. It's late, and fixing the badly healed hand becomes just another postponed chore. In bed, as he lies sleepless on his back, the hand moves on its own, strokes the opposite shoulder, ruffles his hair, and in a familiar motion runs knuckles across his cheek and a single finger along his lips, toys playfully at the sparse hair on his chest. But as a finger on the strange hand rounds a nipple, he stops himself, held back by an all too familiar guilt. His body does not belong to anyone anymore, not even to himself. But the hand responds neither to words nor strength, but moves down to stroke him to the release he's denied himself since Junaid's death, and cradles his head while he sleeps. The next morning, the nanobots have cleared up their mistake. Both hands are his and exactly the same, and the day is wearing as the previous one. Night falls and he cannot resist the foolish urge towards repetition. He gashes open the same palm and waits, hoping and hating himself. Junaid's hand is back, complete with scars and unkempt fingernails. This night he doesn't hold back the hand from touching every aching part of him, and in the late hours he's able, after a long time, to laugh at himself as he holds hands with himself till the morning light. The third night, after he's washed off the day's accumulation of pity and self-reproach, he picks up the knife again, but instead of just a hand, he longs to see his beloved's face again, and the blade slashes open his left cheek, squirting blood all over the bedroom mirror. It takes a minute for him to realize the nanobots have failed this time. The blood won't stop. He's tempted to let it go on and ignore the panic button, and he's not sure whose finger finally calls for the help that saves him. All through counseling and against 7 doctors, he defends the scar across his cheek, tells them it reminds him not to go there again. In a few months, when it no longer burns or glows back at him in a reflection, he might even learn to let someone trace their finger along its path.